movie's called No Escape, but it just as easily could have been called, and I kept thinking this, well, we're fucked.
Yeah, it's like, and then there's this.
Talk about something adding to American xenophobia of the going to the, anywhere else in the rest of the world. I think that maybe I was even a little affected by this, having spent time in Beijing and Hong Kong, because there are points that, I mean, there's that, like, most of the people don't speak the language. Like, some people are, you know, most people are just ignoring you, but every once in a while there'll be people who just, like, stare at you going by with cold faces, and you're like, what does that mean? What's happening? Well, and this is, like, worst case scenario for Americans in the Far East.
For me, like, as somebody who's been racially ambiguous my entire life, I'm like, it's finally going to come in handy. I'm just going to get a really nice tan just try to blend.
Make up a fake language. Just be like, only
I'm just
going to
wear like a bunch of stuff. I'm just going to just sort of hang out. Be like, yeah, I'm totally not an American.
Not an American. Nope.
It's like, but then there's going to be a McDonald's, and I'm going to get caught there, and then my cover's blown.
See, I'm just trying to talk with a Russian accent. But yeah, this film, No Escape, is brought to you by John Eric Dowdle, a horror director who previously has done films like Quarantine, which was the remake of Wreck, the Spanish film Wreck, which is nowhere near as good as the original, for the record. The Poughkeepsie Tape, the much maligned Poughkeepsie Tapes.
I've heard so much shit about those.
I've never actually seen it.
Me neither.
But, yeah. Devil, which was that one that they sold as if it was an M. Night Shyamalan film, even though he just produced it.
And yeah, this one made sense.
It still wasn't very good, though.
It wasn't very good, but it didn't insult critics directly.
And then As Above, So Below, which was like half really good, half really stupid.
Exactly.
And I think we can both agree that No Escape is the best thing this guy has done.
Oh, by and far.
And despite the marketing, definitely a horror film.
Yeah, I didn't know that this was a horror director before you said, before we really went and looked at the record.
Me neither.
You can tell, like, going back now, I'm like, he's really good at taking you to that point of tension to where you just can't take it, then one more, and then a release. Like, so he's very good at that.
I think that one of the things that works here is that sense of, these are really every people. These are not Hollywood protagonists. And God damn it.
Damn it, Picard.
I'm the guy who fucked up with my phone. Jesus Christ. Despite the fact that I don't really feel like Owen Wilson was 100% into this, like, you're watching him in scenes where he's supposed to be, like, freaking out, and he's got kind of a half smile on his face like he always does.
I think it's that, like, I can see what you're saying, but my view of that is that we're so used to seeing him in that affable role that when maybe he's going for more of a shot, our minds, like, put in, oh, it's Owen Wilson, he's gonna be goofy now.
Yeah, maybe.
Because, like, I thought there was, like, real chemistry between him and Lake Bell.
Yeah,
there was a lot of, like,
well, they do so much to set up, like, this guy, he's a family man, they've got two little girls, they've gone over to whatever country it is, because I don't think they ever actually say, somewhere on the border of Vietnam.
They're very careful
Cambodia,
not to,
we think?
They're very careful not to mention that, because, like, I think they're trying to, like, market this to as many countries as possible.
Yeah, right, we don't piss off any one specific country. It's one of you guys on the border of Vietnam.
And they're actually very, one thing I actually liked about this movie is that they're very careful to not do it like an 80s thing where it's just jingoistic and it is to a certain degree xenophobic, but they do make a point to stop the movie, which I usually don't like, but to stop a movie and say, hey, this isn't as black and white as it does seem. Right. Now, there's definitely
a villain. You know, maybe they have a good reason for hating us, even though I don't think there's any reason good enough to just start blatantly murdering people.
I agree, but it's like, at least they don't say, yeah, they're just mad for no reason. It's like, no, it's a little bit gray, which is nice.
And the madding question is, he's been brought over there with Cardiff, which is a real company, which surprised me. I was like, well, you're really using a real company for this?
When I heard Cardiff, I was thinking of Doctor Who. I was like,
right.
The one in Britain?
Yeah, no, it's an actual company.
Okay.
So it's like, okay, who flown him out there to work on the
water
or something
plant.
To do with the water plant. Yeah. And they're never really clear on what it is.
They really aren't.
But, so his whole family, they moved over there very like, oh, this place is really, they don't serve good beer here. I don't know. But
They're sort of weirded out. They're in a completely different culture.
It is odd. It takes several days of getting into a place like that to start to really adjust at all.
Yeah.
You are genuinely kind of freaked out for the first several days you're there. And I get that.
You talk about adjusting. One of the things I love about these movies like this, like thrillers. Well,
let me stay with the plot.
Oh, sorry.
In the plot. You can go in the commentary there. So, along the way, they right off the airport, they meet Pierce Brosnan, who's playing a kind of expat British character, who is playing one of the more fun roles we've seen him play anytime recently. I mean, he's a goofball. At one point later, we see him singing drunken karaoke. These are not Pierce Brosnan things to do normally, but here he's actually fun to watch with his best buddy over there, who's a bus driver who goes by the name of Kenny Rogers, because he's a Kenny Rogers fan. So they get back to the hotel and they're like, okay, well, I guess we'll figure out what's going on. The phone, something seems to be wrong with the phones, the internet and the television is down, but third world, or as they say, fourth world country, which I've never heard of.
Yeah, but that shit happens so much, like, I wouldn't find that too suspicious. I'd be like,
neither do they, though. They're just like, okay, I guess it's not exactly Austin, Texas, where they say they're from.
Yeah.
Which Owen actually is from, I believe, so.
Yeah, so that was a nice little drop in there. I was like, Austin.
But when he goes out for a walk in the morning and realizes that revolution has broken out in this country. The president has been assassinated and the rebels are out there and they're pissed because specifically at his company. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are literally looking for his ass, holding a banner with his face on it that was at the hotel welcoming him, going like, yeah, this guy. So it turns into a sort of like, how in the fuck are they possibly going to get out of this when like everyone in this country is gunning for them and they're, at least in the beginning, really stuck in the top floor of a hotel. And surprisingly, I thought that, and I kept waiting for it to be something that was just so ridiculously dumb how they would get out of something, but I never really felt it fell into that. At its worst, there's when it hits that moment that you're like, okay, you're pretty much fucked now. They pull a Deus Ex Machina with Pierce Brosnan, of course, comes swinging in out of nowhere,
if there's one criticism I have of this movie, it's that. And this is not so much a criticism as it's just a recognition of fact. It is very by the numbers.
Yeah.
If you've seen a lot of movies, you're going to know each beat as it comes.
Sure.
Because you're going to know, okay, well, this person's going to come in here. And this is because if you just study basic storytelling, if you have an old expert, you have to kill, that you have to get rid of that person so that there can be real tension in the story. So you're going to know at each step if you watch a lot of movies. But that being said, everything here is done very well.
Well, that's the thing. There's not a lot of depth to the plot. It couldn't be any more simple, the storyline. Yeah. There's, not very many characters at all. You pretty much have the family, and then you have Pierce Brosnan, and then you have his driver, who is, not really, barely even a character.
And then you have that one
little
villain.
Bit comic relief to a certain extent. Yeah. And then the one villain who, the most implausibly, appears to be everywhere in this big city.
It's like, are you Bugs Bunny?
But, who himself is not really given any depth of character. They don't even go so far as to subtitle these guys.
No, they don't.
He's just a recognizable one of the heads of the bad toughs walking around trying to kill anybody with white
skin.
He's
the one that you really hate. Like, you're like, man, I get, everybody else, I have reason, da-da-da. You're horrible. And you deserve to die.
But the thing is, all the actual tension here and the way it's built up and the situations they get them in do come across as very convincing and genuinely stomach-churningly scary.
Very scary.
There was a point watching this, about towards the end of the first act, where you're just dying for there to be a relief point. Because for, 30 minutes, there's been, just it has not let up.
And it's all plausible. The way they get in these situations, this is not so much of a spoiler, the internet's out. He goes to get a paper, takes a walk, and all of a sudden, oh shit, things are going down. Then he gets back, and it's like, where's the daughter? Oh, she went swimming because she was acting out, and she just went off without us.
Yeah.
That's stuff, the shit that I could see happening.
Yeah, sure, of course. There is one moment towards basically the end of that first act run where you're laughing more because a combination of it's a silly looking shot.
Yes.
But it's also so incredibly tense for you as an audience member.
It's sort of a release. You sort of have to laugh.
Yeah, you have to laugh because they did the shot in slow motion with this character sort of flailing around that is genuinely kind of awkward to look at. But the scenario is genuinely scary. So you're kind of not sure how to feel in the middle of that.
I love that scene because it does something that it avoids something that I hate in action movies, where there's a kid and they let that kid keep talking and well, yeah, no, we are going to die. You can shut the fuck
kid,
up right now,
get
so
us
we
all
can,
killed.
Yeah, so that we can, so I can save your stupid ass.
Yeah,
because I could just jump I could just do this myself.
Yeah, there's a when they're first like leaving the hotel, she dropped her Pooh Bear or
it's like,
whatever,
you like that ship
and she's like, "No, I want him." He's like, "Bitch, you better shut up.
Yeah.
I'll get you another whatever, amorphous stuffed animal. That thing looked like a pile of poop."
Yeah, it's like, I will turn Everclear on you and buy you a garden or something.
I don't know what that means.
It's a bad 90s song reference.
Is it? Okay, fair enough. Yeah, you lost me. You start referring to, is it Nickelback next? Is that
a no? Oh God, Creed? No. Look, I have a lot of bad taste in music, but Nickelback is the line.
But yeah, I don't feel like this really ever lets up.
No,
except for there's a brief part in the middle of it, middle of the second act.
But you just sort of need
second
it.
Act, third act mark, where you by then you're ready for it.
Yeah,
where it's like okay, and maybe a little bit too much exposition. I get why they wanted it there, but it felt like maybe this should have come out before the action started.
I agree they should have placed it at a different place.
Yeah, because it's very, like, it feels very, okay, so we want to make clear that we're not saying all people from the Far East are bad.
Because
yeah,
it's like, we don't want to appear in blogs on the internet about why my movie is problematic. We're trying not to do that shit.
Yeah, and I get that, but maybe that was something they could have front-loaded.
I definitely agree they should have been earlier, but I'm trying to think of where you would put it and maintain that intensity.
Yeah.
Because, like, that little 7-minute stretch is the only part of this movie,
where
besides the beginning, that you get any break.
Yeah.
And it's visceral the entire time.
I guess I'm saying that, like, it's you need that, but that being there feels awkward.
It does
and
feel
like
awkward.
Very stilted, and you're taken out of the movie. You feel like you're looking at the script writing process.
It feels like an edit. It feels like somebody came through and said, watched the movie and said, "Hey, I really like this, but you're gonna cause problems because this is not the 80s anymore. You can't just make movies like this without acknowledging the wider circumstances of the world
and
who you're trying to
of the world
and who you're
case.
Trying to sell this to." Like, and on top of that, like, who you're trying to sell it to in the United States, because the United States is not just going to take a movie that is transparently xenophobic anymore unless it features Donald Trump.
Sure, of course. There were a few things in here where I went, as it went along, guys, you're not being real bright with some of your decision-making processes.
Pick up a gun just once.
Yeah, there's, like, god, dead guys with guns all over the damn place. You're like, and then whenever they do need one, they're like, oh no, what are we going to do? I guess we'll use a rock. And you're like, why didn't you? I would be, aren't you always the guy who's like, look, I'll be holding, like, 50 guns like my video game characters, you know?
It's like,
they'll be strapped around me every which way.
You're like my character in Skyrim. I take a penalty because I have so many guns on my
exactly,
back.
Exactly, exactly. As well, there's, you know, the one time they're like, oh wow, this really works. Like, they put on, like, bandanas because that's kind of the look of the guys. They're literally riding right through a parade of crazed terrorists. Nobody looks twice at them. And you're like, and then you're like, okay, well, we got through that, so let's take them off. It's like, I would wear that shit for the whole rest of the time.
It is just, it's a proof of concept. It just worked.
It worked great. Why did you go with something else after that? That was really stupid.
But, I mean, all these complaints aside, man, I gotta say, like, this is, for me, the most surprisingly satisfying movie I've seen this year.
It was very satisfying.
I'm
overall.
Not saying it's amazing, but it's surprisingly satisfying.
It's not. It's still a little genre film.
It is
what it is. You know, I have some problems with, like I said, Owen Wilson's performance in this. I have some problems with that sort of, like, why are you being stupid, people? This isn't a horror movie. Oh, wait, yes, it kind of is.
Yeah.
But overall, I think part of it is I was expecting so little from it.
I was expecting, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, down below the ground in terms of my expectations.
I mean, when it goes Pierce Brosnan and Owen Wilson in an action thriller, you're like, yawn.
Yeah.
But,
like, is this the rejects? Is this what's going on?
And it is during that time of year that they slide out stuff that they're like, ah, fuck, I guess we'll try and see if we can make a few bucks off it. But
I'm going to own this. Like, I'm buying this on Blu-ray.
They certainly spent no money marketing this at all.
Yeah, it just sort of appeared.
Yeah, yeah. And so, which means the studio has zero confidence in this thing. But it's the sort of thing I think that if people saw, they were going to come out of it going, wow, where the hell did that come from?
Now, let's be clear. It's not the surprise that Taken was.
No.
But it is something that if you go in there and you just want to watch a solid movie because that's going to not waste your time, this is it.
It's not really an action film. It's a horror film, straight up. An action film insinuates that, like an action thriller insinuates there's going to be a lot of sort of fighting scenes, you know, where the hero can hold his own and sort of thing. And
he is
a average Joe. He does not know how to deal with terrorists.
And I appreciate that because that puts me more in the movie.
I mean, you could take this entire thing and switch it out where, no, they're not terrorists. They are an invading alien race.
Yeah.
And it would be the same movie.
I tell you what this movie reminds me a lot of. One of my favorite horror movies, Vacancy.
Yeah.
Like, where it's that sense that, sure, you don't have any disabilities on you, but you still don't have any skills. You need to figure your shit out or you're going to die.
Yeah.
And this movie is a lot like it's like if Vacancy became an action movie and then became a little xenophobic.
A little xenophobic, yeah.
It's like, yeah. So if you like Vacancy, go see this movie.
Well, anyway, let's go to final thoughts. Why don't you continue with your thought you were having there?
Yeah, I really enjoyed this movie, and I don't want to be too hyperbolic in that it's not going to surprise anybody, like take and surprise you when you first saw that, and I think it was 2009. That was just a surprise on a whole other level. This is a movie that it's the end of August. There's really nothing good in theaters that you haven't seen already. Maybe go see Straight Outta Compton, I guess, and Man from U.N.C.L.E., those are decent. But, like, if you're looking for a good action movie just to sit down and watch with your family, or your girlfriend, or your boyfriend, whatever, this is what you're going to want to watch. Like, this will entertain you for 2 hours. You'll be on the edge of your seat. And you know what? You're not going to forget this movie. I think this is not going to be like something like Unfinished Business, which I thought was decent, but I forgot about it completely until I saw it.
A month later, you were like, oh, yeah, I saw that movie.
This is something that's going to stick with you at least for the next few years. You're going to be like, yeah. And you may not even remember the name of the title. You might not even remember the title, but you can be like, man, there was this one movie that was set in Southeast Asia. Man, that shit was tense. And it had Owen Wilson. No Escape. Please go see it.
And you give it?
Oh, sorry. I give it 8 Can Chow Chickens out of 10.
Thank you, Elliot.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I'm Chris. That's Elliot.
Oh, Elliot. Yeah. We are the two that could not escape this review.
Exactly. I couldn't get anybody to come out this week. They were all scared I was going to ask them to see the Zac Efron movie, which we didn't even bother with.
I go see that.
Yeah, well,
Zac Efron's adorable.
It's the same night as tonight, so it was one or the other. I picked this one. I have a feeling we won, because ultimately, No Escape is a pretty fun little thriller. I don't think it's quite as unforgettable as you're saying it is, but I do think that it's going to surprise a lot of people how genuinely tense and edge of your seat you will be for big parts of this film. Once again, I felt like when they did try to give, like, the things that would take me out of it the most is when they close in on Owen Wilson.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're not really pulling this off.
Yeah.
I don't believe you're as scared as everybody else clearly is in the cast.
Like, Lake Bill, you're like, Lake Bill, terrified.
You buy it completely. Yeah. And she does, in fact, I was worried they were going to have the whole film with her just being, he's just the father bear, but she has her moment to come out and be like fierce, vicious mama bear, and you're like, okay.
And make sure
sweet.
The job's done.
Overall, I think this is a pretty fun movie, just, you know, with little flaws here and there. I'm certainly surprised it came from John Eric Dowdle, who so far I've found to be incredibly unsatisfying as a director, but hey, maybe he's getting his thing together. He co-wrote this with his brother, Drew Dowdle, and it's the best thing they've done.
Kudos to them, man.
I'm going to give it 7 out of 10 Americans complaining about the quality of the beds.
And no Wi-Fi.
Which, by the way, all the beds in Asia, they are like pretty much plywood with a sheet over it. I don't know what
that is horrifying.
They just, like in Hong Kong, we're like, Jesus Christ, this bed is tough. And then we got to Beijing and we're like, yeah, I'll pay you $500 to get that Hong Kong bed back. And that's in international hotels.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just bring myself a sleeping bag with me.
I don't know what's going on there. Maybe their backs are better than ours.
I think that's what I heard. I heard it's actually better for your back.
I'll take the trade-off.
This is how you can tell we're old. That we're like, yeah, it's better for your back.
Yeah.